Amen. Last week we started this sermon series called Portraits of Our Faith, and if you see throughout the whole sanctuary, we have different portraits, and they were made by Natalie Smith, one of our musicians. She was playing the piano, the keyboard this morning. She studied, researched what people would look like at the time that the Bible was written. So she, for this specific week that I'll be teaching on the book of Ruth, she studied what a Moabite would look like. And back in the day, Ruth today, it is a pretty good portrait of what a Moabite would look like. So like I said last week, it's so good to see God's people using of their gifts and ability into helping teaching the word of God and spreading the gospel to those in our community. And today we focus on Ruth. If I have a word to define the life of Ruth, in my own personal opinion, is the word devotion. I mean, we know well what the word means, right? To be devoted is to give of our focus, of our time, of our attention to someone, to something, to somebody. Here's the thing. We are all devoted to something, aren't we? Devotion is something that is part of our lives. So the question is, what are you devoted to these days? What are some of the things that is consuming your time, your talent, your energies? What is it that you're focusing on the last 6 months? The Bible is clear that for us as Christians, we ought to be devoted to God. We ought to be devoted to His Word. We ought to be devoted to worship and prayer and fellowship and discipleship and teaching and service. But reality is that we all are called to devote ourselves to God. And if there's two things about God and His devotion that He requires for us, is that we ought to be devoted to Him and to other people. Devotion that is based on the biblical text is a devotion that is focusing on God and focus on other people. The theme for you today is this: a life of significance is lived through devotion. A life of significance is lived through devotion. The common denominator of all those individuals around the world that impact our lives, that impact our communities, that impact our nation, that impact the world, is the word devotion. The common denominator of all those individuals is devotion. I think about Mother Teresa of Calcutta, right? What did she live? She lived a life of devotion. She had a cause that she believed into, and she devoted herself to it. I think about different religious leaders around the world or pastors. I think about Billy Graham, right? Someone who is devoted into evangelism, and he's marked the world and changed and impacted the world because of it. There's so many people who are devoted to so many things out there. You can have good devotions or bad devotions. You can devote yourself to things that are good, or you can devote yourself to things that are bad. True? Right? Can you speak with me one example of a devotion that will destroy someone's life and will not lead to good character? What are some of the things out there that someone devotes himself or herself to that is not good for the person or for the culture or for community in general? Addiction, right? People are devoted to maybe a specific kind of drugs and drive its life down to, might not even be drugs, might be, I don't know, maybe gambling, I don't know. There's things that you devote yourself that attach the name addiction to it that will destroy people's lives. Can you think of one thing positive that people are devoted to? Can you think one of those things that everybody's like, man, you're devoted to that? That's great. Family, huh? Beauty. I'm devoted to beauty, and you can see it. Right? Thanks. I appreciate that. Beauty, family. There are things in our lives that we can be devoted to that builds us up and build those around us. We can focus on devote to God and to people through those things that we are devoted. So here's the thing. As growing up, I wanted to impact the world. I wanted to make a mark in the world. When I was in high school, I wanted to make a mark in the world through playing through playing soccer. So I wanted to be a soccer player, this professional soccer player. And didn't pan out well. So in college, I went to college and seminary. And in seminary, now I wanted to impact the world, to leave a mark by publishing like books and writing cutting-edge theological papers and ideas that will bring out new knowledge on biblical materials to preach and to mold the thinking of Christians. And it didn't work out. So after that, I became a pastor, right? So now I'm like, I was like, in the beginning of my preaching ministries, I was like, I want to be this like powerful pastor, a positive influence in the community, in the life of people around me. And so I want to, you know, like shepherd people and like see people's life be completely transformed. But here's the thing, as I have aged a little, I have sometimes observed that others appear to be making more of a mark in our community, in people's life, than I have ever done. I start to realize that there are people out there that are using of their gifts and abilities in a much greater way than I have. And it becomes particularly frustrating when others with more influence and prominence appear to be using their gifts and abilities to make a world a better place, or even sometimes a worse place, while I'm still insignificant. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like you want to make an impact and you look all around and you feel insignificant while other people around you seem to be prominent and influential? See, I don't think I'm alone on that. I don't think this feeling is only mine. I think it is a feeling that we all feel the same. I think we all want our lives to matter, to make a mark in the world in which we live. I think we have all the same desire. And I think here's where Ruth comes is an impeccable book that teaches us, among so many other things, that a life that makes and leaves a mark in the world is a life lived through devotion. And I think this is why the book of Ruth is so awesome, because it teaches us that if you want to impact the world, you have to live a life of devotion. See, last week we talked about David and how God molds the heart. And God molds the heart to a life of devotion that is demonstrated in our everyday life. We want those big moments where we believe significance is built upon. But reality is, your life, my life, matters most on the little things in life. Your life and my life will be significant if we devote it to the little things of life for which God has prepared for us in advance. It is not about the big things. It is about being faithful in the little things and devoting ourselves to the little things to see the big things happen. It is a process in which God is working in your life, in the life of those around you, for significance. I believe Ruth has a great deal to teach us about a life of devotion. Let me summarize a little bit her life, because maybe some of you are not very familiar with her life story. In Bethlehem, there was a guy called Elimelech. His name, Elimelech, really means, my God is king. This is a guy who feared God, right? His name said that. He was forced by famine in Bethlehem, on his hometown, to go out and search for food. Something that most dads will do. If you're hungry and your family's hungry, you got to do something in order to feed them, right? So he picked up his kids, his wife, and two kids, and they moved. They moved to Moab, the town, the nation of Moab. His wife's name was Naomi, which meant pleasant. And his two sons, Mahlon, meant sickness. And and Chilion, which means vanishing. And he took them and went to Moab. For 10 years, the family sojourned in Moab. During this time, Elimelech died, leaving Naomi, his wife, a widow, with two sons who were married to two Moabite ladies. See, here's the thing. God, in the Old Testament, especially in Leviticus, tell his people, listen, you stay in my town. Don't leave Israel. Stay right here. I will provide for you there. But not only that, God had in his mind, in his sovereignty, to pass on the message also, don't let your kids marry ladies from another nation. The reason being is because people from other nations did not worship God, and if the guys married someone from another nation, most likely they would reject their faith because of the influence of their wives in their own faith. Side note, I got a Facebook message one day. Pastor Sam, I'm going to marry like my me. I have a husband. No, I have a fiance who is from another nation, right? Can I marry someone from another nation? And I was like, well, you better be able to, because I did. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, Old Testament, God has something in mind. So let's not be too crazy about what God is saying there. Let's put it in context. God was trying to keep God's people safe from idolatry there. Therefore, that's the rule. That was the rule back then. So then he married, and the 10 years there, those two kids got married, and so the tragedy happens. Not only Elimelech dies, but two of the boys die. So now we have three ladies by themselves in Moab. At that time, being a widow meant that you had nothing, that nobody to take care of you, nobody to watch over your life. You're very vulnerable, and really meant like kind of a death sentence. Naomi, knowing how difficult it would be for her to live in a foreigner land by herself with two ladies, said, I'm going to go back home. I'm going to go back to Bethlehem. And the two daughter-in-laws looked at her and said, we're going with you. Naomi said, like, no, you guys, like, you're a foreigner. That's not going to work in Israel. Like, you in Bethlehem, you can stay here in Moab where you're from. Go back to your mom and dad's house. God's going to provide for you there. Orpah, one of the daughter-in-laws, said, okay, I hear you, Naomi. I listen to you, my mother-in-law, and I'll go back home. And she went back home. But it was different with Ruth. It was different with Ruth. She goes on to say this on Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Ruth 1, verse 16 and 17, upon her mother-in-law saying, go home, Ruth, she said this. Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also if anything but death parts us from you. See, here's the thing about Ruth. She knew exactly the condition of her mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law has been suffering now for years. She not only lost her husband, now she lost her two sons and was going to go home with nobody to care for her. Ruth, knowing her condition, said, I am not going to leave you. I am going to devote my life for you. Because that's what God requires of us, right? Isn't that what God requires of his people? That he would take care of people, that you devote to people, and that you will devote to God. See, that's exactly what Ruth did. She said, it doesn't matter where you go, I will go. It doesn't matter where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. But remember this, she's a Moabite. She doesn't worship Yahweh. See, this is what a life of devotion does. It makes you bridge the bridges, burn the bridges from the back to look for something forward in the future. You burn the back to look forward to the future. Ruth left mom and dad, kinsmen, friends, families, colleagues, gods, all behind to devote herself to Yahweh and to Yahweh's people. Isn't that what it is required of us? That we would devote ourselves to God and to God's people. Ruth has so much to teach us on life of devotion. Here is the first lesson that she teaches, that a life of devotion is lived through decisions. I think Ruth's decisions here are very important. She didn't play by the rules, right? The first point is that Ruth's decisions were so important, she didn't play by the rules. The rules would be, if your husband died, you go back home. She didn't play by those rules. She didn't allow anything to influence her life of conviction. Ruth abandoned her homeland, her people, her gods. She left it all to lead a new life, to live a new life in a new land with strangers. She loved Naomi and pledged not to forsake her. Ruth chose God's people. Ruth demonstrated faithfulness, respect, devotion, love, friendship, and humility to the choices that she made. This was a vow of total commitment. This was a commitment even to death. I have a sub point for you. It's going to be up there that I think it is very important for you to take home on this idea of decisions. It says this: when you are living a life that is dictated by others, when you are living a life that is dictated by others, it becomes hard to find the purpose of your own life, therefore impacting the world. When you allow other people and their voices to override that which God has for you, what God has required of you, when you allow the voices of the culture, of the voices of those around you to influence your actions, that's when you start to be less like God and more like the world or those around you. See, here's the thing about Ruth is that she didn't give in to the voice of her mother-in-law who said, go back home. Leave me. Don't choose me. Don't choose my God. Don't choose my people. Don't choose me. Go home. She didn't allow her mother-in-law, to whom she respect, to influence her decisions. You know what else? She didn't allow her sister-in-law's decisions and words to influence her heart either. Right? Her sister-in-law went back home. She's like, all right, thank you, Naomi. You said it. That's great. I'm going to go home. And she went home. No, she did not. She lived a life of conviction. Ruth didn't allow the desires and decisions of her mother-in-law or sister-in-law to influence her convictions. In a conversation I had with a friend of mine about his future, He said this, God sometimes puts two good options before you, simply says, here's two options, choose it. See, there are moments in our lives when both choices would honor Jesus. There is no wrong answer, yet we struggle to make the right decisions out of the obsession to find God's will and to take the right path. Sometimes God is just saying, choose. Make a choice. Move forward. Ask the question first, is this going to glorify me? And both will answer, say, yes. See, here's the thing. Ophrah, the girl, the other lady, she chose home. It's not a wrong choice. We don't see anything in the Bible that say that she made the wrong choice. We don't. As far as I know, her life was just as dandy as it could have been. But we do know that Ruth, her choices led her to live a life that impact not only us today, but impact generations and generations. Here's what is so important about Ruth. Let me read for you a verse. Ruth, chapter 4, verses 13 and 17. This is what it says. Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her. And the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. The woman of the neighborhood gave him the name, saying, "As a son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Here's what is significant. Remember last week I talked about King David, how important he was for the kingdom of God? That Jesus came from the line of Judah and the line of the King David. Here's the thing. Before we see God working in the heart of David, he was already working in the devotion of Ruth. It was because of Ruth's devotion that we have King David. Therefore, we have that so important line that leads to salvation in Jesus Christ. See, here's the thing. A life of devotion, a life of significance that is lived through devotion impact the world. It was this woman's choices and choosing what was godly to devote herself to God and what God had for her, his will for her life, allowed her to impact our lives today. The second thing that I think we learned from Ruth is this, is that to live a life of devotion, you have to step out of your comfort zone. If you're going to have this life of devotion that impact the world, you have to step out of your comfort zone. To live a life of devotion means to not fear and to expect more of God, because God is great and He has so much more for you. The term comfort zone is the code for a place inside yourself where you stay so you feel safe and avoid the feelings of fear. Ruth was fearless and bold in this story. Here's the thing, for a Moabite to go to Israel, it was not the best advice to give someone. The battle between two nations was there from generation to generation. There was many uncertainties for Ruth's life within Israel. But she didn't allow the fear to like put a damp in her devotion. She didn't allow fear of the unknown to destroy her life of devotion. And I have a sub point for you here that says this: fear of the unknown, fear of failing, or fear of not being in control can destroy an impactful life. You know why? Because you move on from trusting in God to trusting your own abilities. There is one word that I'm really scared of, is the word boredom. Meaninglessness. I have, Sam Rosa, usually connect boredom with meaninglessness. 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 Meaningless. Whatever, you got it. Meaningless. Maybe I should just break down the word to come out better, right? Meaningless. Which connect with me with mediocrity. Like this idea of monotony is somewhere around my heart just doesn't settle well. I don't know why. Because I see that those who are living meaningful life, those who are living a life that is impacting those around them, is stepping out of their comfort zones. They're living a life of adventure. The meaning in your life is, if you think that that something that stepping out of the comfort zone is like dangerous. If you're doing that in God's will, I believe that God is going to make the provision to keep you safe and to make you prosper. I always say this, that the meaning in your life, it is not inside of our comfort zone. It is outside of that. God is always asking us to do something outside of that comfort zone. It reminds me of Peter himself, right? Comfort zone, the boat, not comfort zone, outside of the boat. What did Jesus ask him to do? Stay inside of the boat. Right? Right? No, God said, come out of the boat, walk on the water, not my comfort zone, not your comfort zone. That's where we are called to be by Jesus. You know why? Because that's where we trust Him most, outside of our comfort zone. You become more of the person you were meant to be every time you push past your fears to live the adventurous life that God has called you to live. It doesn't matter how small or big the step is. Once you step out of your comfort zone, that comfort zone becomes bigger. Life offers you more opportunities. Face your fears and grow. And that's what Ruth did when she chose to devote herself to God and His people, mainly Naomi. She was committed to Naomi, to love her mother-in-law, and to devote herself to her. She lived a life outside of the comfort zone. But it wasn't only about living a life out of comfort zone or making the choices that to devote herself to God and God's people. It was also to live a life of devotion. You have to understand this little word here, work. Right? Work. Ruth went to work. I mean, when God asks you to step outside of your comfort zone, he doesn't ask you to step outside of your comfort zone into sitting in a couch, right? He always asks you to come out of your comfort zone into work, to do some work. So in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 22, that God put a law there for God's people to protect the widow, the poor, the foreigners, the strangers in the land. And the law went this way. I have it up there for you. Leviticus chapter 23 and 22 says this. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field when you reap. Nor shall you gather any gleaning from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the strangers. I am the Lord your God. So God knew that there would be some people that would be destituted. God knew there would be some people in Israel that would be poor, that needed aid. He knew that there would be strangers in the land who would not be able to provide for themselves. So God put a law out there saying, like, listen, they can take care of them. It is your obligation. So here's what you're supposed to do. When you're harvesting, leave rows out there for them to come and pick it up. Both Naomi and Ruth were poor widows. And Ruth was also a stranger in the land. So if anyone had the right to glean in the fields, it would be Ruth. And so Ruth told Naomi she would glean in the fields, and she did so for the remaining of their harvest. See, here's the thing about living a life of devotion. Only those who are virtuous live a life of devotion. Ruth won the respect of the community about her by the devotion she had to Naomi, but her devotion to hard work. And for her life of for how she conduct her life. When she labored in the field, the workers noticed how hard she worked. I love chapter 2, verse 7, because the workers were giving like telling people about who she was. And they say this, Ruth, chapter 2, verse 7, says this, please let me glean. And Ruth comes to the workers and says, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers. So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. See, she was a hard-working lady. A life of devotion comes through hard work. God asks you to do something, to be part of something great, and that requires work. You can't impact the world without the word work on it. Not only did she work hard, she maintained her purity, winning the respect due to a virtuous woman. Ruth demonstrated the beauty of humility and hard work. My last point for you is this, is that if you want to impact the world, you ought to live a life of devotion through trusting in God's provision. See, God's provision to Ruth came from her work. So many times we think that God's provision will come to us through easiness of life, where God's looking at you and saying, like, no, impacting in the world comes through hard work, and my provision to your life is going to come through work. It is so easy to want blessings without working, right? Without having any skin in the game. Not with God, though. God is a God who empowers people, who wants to see their gifts and ability being put into service. A life of significance is lived through devotion. A devotion that is lived through decisions, that is living through getting out, stepping out of your comfort zone, that is lived through hard work, that is lived through trusting in God. Ruth walking in the pathway of devotion. She turned her back to the pleasures of life in order to do what devotion demanded. Ruth sacrificed everything that could fascinate a young woman to fulfill the demands of her devotion. She gave up associating with her family, her friends, her kinsmen to move to Israel. She committed herself to caring for her aged mother-in-law, who could not provide for herself. While others were enjoying life, temporal pleasures, Ruth was fulfilling her devotion in order to leave a mark in the life of Naomi, and in return, we see how she left a mark in the world by which we live today, by coming in the lineage of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray.